You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome into a Friday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. The Pacers have a cool opportunity to sweep the Cavaliers tonight. We will touch on that. I have some injury updates from practice, and I have a cool story kind of thing from Nate and Miles talking about the prospect of Miles and Domantas Sabonis potentially starting together at some point. So lots to get to today. As always, I am Tony East with the West Indianapolis Community News, one of your hosts of the Locked On Pacers podcast. And I think we should just jump right in and start with the most fun and breaking news that we didn't get to talk about on yesterday's pod when we recapped the Suns' win. Domantas Sabonis will be playing in the Rising Stars Challenge for the second year in a row. He's a sophomore. Technically, it's the rookie sophomore game, the way the Rising Stars Challenge works. It's not actually called the rookie sophomore game, but it's all the best United States players comprising of one team from rookies and sophomores, and then the other team is all non-United States rookies and sophomores. And Sabonis is his second year on the team. He'll be headed out to All-Star Weekend with Victor Oladipo, and at practice today, he was asked about the opportunity, and here's what he had to say.
We saw Victor's comment about going on field trip with your brother. What do you think about that?
I just had it funny. It was funny.
You guys taking any field trips together?
No. Yeah.
What was that Rising Stars Challenge experience like last year, and what are you looking forward to this time?
It was fun. It was really cool. Just to be in that environment with all the best players and just enjoying every moment of it. I'm trying to do the same thing this year. I have Vic with me, so it's good. It's gonna be fun.
Your eyes are probably wide open a little more as a rookie than now a second-year guy that's done it before. You know, do you focus more on the game, or what do you focus on that weekend?
Oh, just have fun. Just have fun. Spend time with your family and friends, and just have fun.
I feel like it's a good realization that you've done pretty well to start your NBA career to be there two times.
Yeah, I'm just trying to get better every day and come in and compete and try to get wins.
So that's very exciting news that the Pacers will have more representation at All-Star Weekend. Always cool when the franchise and organization gets good representation at an event that's designed for fans to have a good time. And, with Sabonis, this is his second year in a row, too, showing that, you know, he's continued to improve. You know, last year he had the hot start in Oklahoma City shooting from deep, and I think that kind of hung in the minds of people putting in foreign players into the game, and also the foreign field's kind of easier to get into. But this year he's been so good that, you know, it's pretty obvious, and I forecasted this earlier on a way earlier episode, that he might get into this game. So really cool for Sabonis and the team that he'll be traveling out with Vic. It's hilarious that both guys in the Paul George trade will be going to All-Star Weekend for something. So congratulations to Sabonis, and we're sorry we didn't get to this on yesterday's episode. But the next thing to get to is obviously injuries. So Darren Collison missed the Suns game for personal reasons, and I asked him at practice if he would expand on that, and he just said no, and that was the only question he got asked, and I felt really bad and embarrassed, so that was unfortunate. Still don't know much about that. Hopefully he's doing okay. Nate talked about him and Miles' injury and TJ Leaf's injury, and I'll just let him do all the talking for me.
He's still questionable for tomorrow night's game. He did go through a practice, full practice today. Did some scrimmaging, and he'll be questionable for tomorrow's game.
Any updates on TJ?
TJ did not practice today. He was a little sore. Did not do any running on it today.
So you think he's out for the long?
Well, these guys, our trainers are good. We'll see how good they are.
I saw Darren's back, so he's going.
Darren was back today practicing. He went through full practice, so he'll play tomorrow.
So nothing too crazy in terms of updates there. Miles is still questionable, and I'll drop his quote in a second, but you know, Collison and I already talked about the big one here is Leaf. We just learned before the Suns game he has an ankle injury, and I would have asked him about it had I seen him, but he was in the weight room and we didn't get a chance to speak with him at practice. So it sounds like his ankle injury isn't just something to gloss over. It may be a thing. This will be his second consecutive missed game, and you know, they blew out the Suns, so it wasn't a big deal. They had to mix up the rotation a little bit, but in a big game like this, you know, you don't want to have to throw in someone like Alex Poitras. And you know, Ben Moore got a little bit of run against the Suns, and he's not going to be playing against the Cavs for sure. So You know, without Leaf, it's just a whole different dynamic, especially with no GR3. You know, the backup wing is weird, and you know, hopefully Turner plays so they have someone that can slide into the post rotation, because it's going to be tougher without Leaf. But anyway, back to Miles. Still questionable. I saw him practicing. He was in a second unit shirt, and because Nate said at other practices that if Miles comes back, he'll be coming off the bench, that actually was an encouraging sign to me. And, you know, let's just hear what Miles had to say about his own injury.
We'll see about him playing tomorrow, but you are feeling even better than you did, say, you know, before Wednesday? Well,
you're not. Feel about the same. I mean, it's healing. Feeling pretty good.
Seem to be shooting well. Does it still bother you some when you're shooting, or you feel pain? Or?
Nothing bothers me when I'm shooting. Nothing.
So it was just the arm issue. Is conditioning maybe less of a concern than when you're coming back from the concussion?
Yeah, you know, just been able to. I've been able to get to myself and get my legs going. So you know, it's all been pretty good.
What do you do to keep from getting the answer?
Keeping the wins. I mean, whenever the team's out there winning, it just keeps me. You know, keeps me motivated to come back there and add to the fun. So just, just staying out there and just cheering my teammates on.
So between his and McMillan's comments, not a ton of good insight if he'll actually play against the Cavs. But the Leaf injury and the fact that he had the second team shirt on, and just watching him shoot, he stayed late after practice. He was the only one doing a shoot around afterwards. You know, a lot of confounding factors make me think that he will play, but probably low minutes and off the bench. So I can't tell you for sure, but I would my guess would be 60-40 in favor of him playing, and getting back so fast from that injury is A, way, way, way quicker than I thought it would be, and B, just huge for the team. Their defense will improve. And he'll be back, and Sabonis will still start. And before we talk about the Sabonis-Turner, should they start together injury, let's just go to a quick break. All right, and we are back, and a big storyline this year for the team and the fans and the analysts and everyone has been just given the timeline of the team. You know, they're younger, and two of their best three players are 21 and 20-year-old Sabonis and Turner, who play the same slash similar positions. You know, the question always has been, you know, no one really wants to talk about the elephant in the room because it's in the future, but can those two guys play together, and can they do it well? And it was a popular theme at practice today because, you know, Sabonis has played so well as a starter, and, you know, Turner has been so good on defense all year, and they're both so young that they could turn into completely different players, but you have to hope that one day they will play together. So Turner was asked about it first, and, you know, he had some really insightful actual on-court things to say about it. But he also said, and you'll hear this in a second, that he thinks it would be more of a thing that would happen in a future season because of, you know, they'd need a summer to, like, work together and gain some more chemistry. But just hear what Miles' take on the whole situation of him and Sabonis eventually starting together was.
Miles, Domas played well in your absence, you know, and started. Some people think, you know, they'd like to see you two play together more. You have played together a lot. What have you noticed when you do play together? How has it gone?
Well, he makes the game easier for me because, I mean, he's just he's one of those, like, dirty work players. Gets in there, gets on the glass, and he demands more attention when he's down there. You know, when I'm on the perimeter or when I'm out stretching the floor, you know, I can feed him in the post. You can't really double off much because you can swing the ball. We have a lot going on, and vice versa. So, you know, you know, we're both, like, we're opposites, but I think we attract out there on the court. Mm-hmm. I mean, we just do a lot of, you know, good things out there.
Your starting lineup is kind of set for this season once you get healthy again, but do you see that long-term, next year, future seasons as a likely combination with you two?
Yeah, we got to keep working together, you know, the summertime, and keep developing a relationship. I mean, I think I can definitely see it in the future. Mm-hmm.
So it was cool to see and hear Miles get into the X's and O's, you know, with the doubling off and the ball movement. And I like that he talked about how Sabonis is already better than him inside and he's better outside. You know, it's really good that he, like, has that awareness to know his skills and Domantas' skills and all that stuff. But, you know, it is encouraging that he feels like they can one day play together given that inside-outside presence. But you also have to know that that there's two ends of the court, and he only talked really about offensive fit. And Nate, on the other hand, did talk about defensive fit a little bit, and he also incorporated Thad Young into his answer and kind of said that the media is making a story out of this whole they should start together thing So you'll have, just hear what Nate had to say. He wasn't being mean to anybody. He was just explaining the situation and saying, no, we are not considering a starting lineup change with those two at any time.
Nate, you had said that when Miles comes back, he'll probably come off the bench at first just to kind of ease back into mm-hmm. things. Sabonis has played well. Mm-hmm. So many fans seem to think they should play together at some point. We've talked about it some, but is that just something you kick down the road, like maybe next year, that type of thing, or is it under consideration for
they
this
do
season?
Play together.
Start together, I'm sorry.
Well, we look at what's best for our team and that balance. And, you know, Thad is our starting power forward right now. And, you know, that's that position is filled.
Yeah. When they have played together, do you notice anything? Has it been good? Has it not been good?
It's been okay. You know, we've been able to look at them, but because of the injuries, we haven't had seen them a lot together. But it's been okay. You know, there are some challenges with that big lineup, depending on what you who we're playing and the matchups. But it's something that we're going to continue to look at and, you know, try to take advantage of it when we can.
Are the challenges defensively, basically?
Yeah, because, you know, which guy who's guarding the four?
Who is to get out on the perimeter and
guard? You know, you lose a little speed. You do gain in size. But a lot of times, you know, with those second units, they're much smaller.
Would one of them have to add to his skill set for it to work for them to be a regular combination together, you know, starting combination? Is there something that needs to happen?
I'm not even thinking about that. I'm not thinking about, you know, that situation. We're looking at this year and our roster this season. You know, we've had success with our starting group and Domas. I mean, pump the brakes mm-hmm. is what I would say to some folks. You know, we get to, that opportunity presents itself with our rotation, and we're comfortable with that rotation. And we're talking about a balance that you need with your first and your second unit. And the way we have that rotation set up right now, we feel we have the proper balance. Mm-hmm.
Seems like a blessing for you that Domas is perfectly willing to play off the bench. Some players who play well might think, hey, I need to be starting, but he seems fine with his role as it is now.
I don't hear – only people I hear talking about it is the media and the media. he hasn't said a word about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So there are a few things to note in there. Obviously, cool that Nate, well, cool for me at least, that Nate addressed the defensive end of the court. You know, those two guys can't really defend out on the perimeter, like he said. And you know, since like on offense, they both can shoot just enough that I don't think it would be an issue. But because they're both bigger and they do struggle with that perimeter defense, you know, one of them's going to have to at least be adequate at it for them to be able to get away with it. And, you know, Turner's already got the acumen to defend the post, but he does not really have the perimeter defense. So one would think right now it would be Domas who would have to stretch out, but neither of them really have any athleticism or agility to do anything like that. So that would be a big change. But the biggest takeaway is just Nate saying, that is our starting power forward. And I think that is a good answer and a definitive answer for the rest of the season, that there will be no starting lineup change. You know, Thad's been really good. He's been really consistent all year. He's one of the vets on the team. He has value league-wide. He's a respected guy. I don't think you can bench him. It would just look bad for both him, the team, the chemistry, everything. I think Thad has earned the right to start and will continue to do so the rest of the year. And Nate seems to think so, too. So just interesting to hear from Nate two things. One, that what I just said, you know, that Thad is the starter the rest of the year. And two, that, you know, everyone really does kind of have the mindset of they're not going to start together now, but they probably are in the future. And Miles seems to think that, you know, just one more summer of them working hard together and it'll be time. So really cool story kind of deal, cool comments from everybody. And it'll be something to monitor as those two guys, you know, playing together in the future because they're so talented and unique skill set players. So there is a Cavs game tonight and we should talk about it. But first, this from MyBookie. Hey guys, so the Super Bowl is coming up and NBA season is in full swing, and It's time to cash in on your gambling at mybookie.ag. If you haven't checked them out, it's the perfect time to get into the action. You know, if you have a hunch who's going to win any sort of thing, tips, tip-offs in every game, the coin toss in the upcoming Super Bowl, the Gatorade color, you know, things like that. There's prop bets. There's everything. You know, you don't even have to watch the game. You can just be a part of it by going to mybookie.ag and joining thousands of other players. MyBookie is an industry-leading online sportsbook, and they have the fastest payouts in the business. I would recommend the service because it's been good to me and our listeners so far, and I urge you to try MyBookie because when you win, they pay. There's no hassle, and that's the biggest problem with online gambling is that hassle, and they just cut that problem right out. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting for your prop bets that you can do after kickoff, so there's no reason not to do it. Join now and score some free cash to place any bets on basketball or Super Bowl wagers you want. MyBookie is giving away up to $1,000 to every new player. All you have to do is sign up today to score an instant 50% bonus on your first deposit. If you join with $100, that means you'll get 150 bankroll to play with. Just use the promo code LOCKEDONNBA to activate that offer. That's LOCKEDONNBA. Play, win, and get paid at mybookie.ag. All right, so let's talk a little Cavs because the Pacers play the Cavs tonight, and I took forever to get here, but we're here. We're going to talk about the Cavs, who the Pacers, if you include the preseason, have the opportunity to go 5-0 against this year, 4-0 in the regular season. That would just be huge. The Cavs, you know, are one of the better teams in the East, are considered to be. They have the best player in the world. Miles Turner said at practice today it'd be huge just to prove to the Pacers that they feel like they're a legitimately good team sweeping the Cavs. So, you know, it's on their mind too. The Cavs still floundering, including that 97-95 Pacers win. They only have, I believe, 2 wins since. That sounds just crazy, but I think that's the exact situation that's going on. No, they only have 1 win since, excuse me. They've won 2 of their last 10 games. They're down to 27-19. They're third in the conference. They're only about a game and a half or 2 ahead of the Pacers. I should have had the standings up before I said that, so I'm going to look it up while I'm still talking. That is correct. They're 2 games ahead of the Pacers, so if the Pacers win tonight, they're 1 game behind the Cavs, who are 13th in pace, 5th in offense, 29th in defense. I know we just talked about the Cavs pretty recently, so not a whole ton to get to here, but there is still some stuff to talk to. Isaiah Thomas did not play the last time these two teams played. He will play in this one, which might actually be good for the Pacers. Thomas has been scoring pretty well, about 16 points a game, but it's been pretty inefficient, and that is kind of why he's been such a negative for them on the court. Under 80% from the free throw line, which for him is a big deal. 28% from 3, which is just atrocious. You know, if that shot's not falling for him and he's that short, you know, he can't really expand the floor at all. You'll just lay off of him and let him take it. 39% overall from the field. So he's really having a tough time putting the ball in the basket. And because he's not very good on defense, you know, the whole rumor was that he would be better than Kyrie on D because he tries. But even when he tries, he's bad because he doesn't know where to be or anything like that. So he's really hurting the team. And it could be good that he could go off and it would just be like, okay, I'm an idiot for saying it could be good that he plays. But if he plays like he has been and he's on like a 25-minute restriction, you know, that they could tear up the Cavs when he's in the game. But this is the big story, is that the Cavs have been struggling on the glass and on defense. And to address that, they moved Tristan Thompson back into the starting lineup, the lineup that they had so much success with. They won a finals with this lineup. Well, not this exact lineup, but most of these players. So Tristan Thompson will start in this game. It's his first start in forever. He only has 5 this year. I think it's his first start since November 1st. So the starting lineup for the Cavaliers, Jay Crowder will not start, and now it will be Isaiah Thomas, J.R. Smith, LeBron, Kevin Love, and Tristan Thompson. So the finals championship team with Isaiah instead of Kyrie. I think that this suits them well long-term because Tristan Thompson is pretty good on the glass and on defense. And I really think it suits them very well against the Pacers because you know, the Pacers are such a high-octane offense and kind of a meh defensive team that I thought they could win this game by just using their asset of good offense to scoring more points than the Cavs, but now it's going to be harder for them to do that because the Cavs have a focus on defense with Thompson at center. So, you know, they might score some less points, and, you know, he's so good on the glass that, A, you know, if Turner doesn't play, or B, if he does injured with an elbow injury, you know, he's not going to be very effective. So if Thompson shuts down Sabonis, the Pacers are going to really struggle to grab the boards. So I am not worried. I just think it will change the game in a way that swings more towards Cleveland's favor, even with them struggling so much. So that is something to watch for, is how well Thompson plays. And, You know, presumably the Cavs now will not play a backup center at all. When he comes out, Kevin Love will play center. He'll probably be the first sub out for the aforementioned Jay Crowder or maybe even Dwayne Wade. So that's something to monitor. Derrick Rose is also back. He might play in this one. I don't know how effective he's been. I think the answer is not at all, but we'll have to find out. I don't really keep up with Derrick Rose anymore since he's had a million injuries and isn't really a player to keep an eye on anymore. Nothing else really with the Cavs besides just a bunch of internal stuff. Apparently they have a lot of fights and, you know, they've just lost a bunch of games in a row. So things just don't sound good in their organization. Also, apparently Channing Frye is injured. I literally just read this. He has an abdominal strain and it is uncertain if he will play against the Pacers on Friday. So no Channing Frye. That's a good shooter off the bench. So if that doesn't happen, they might have to play, you know, Chetty Osman or Ante Zizic, who are both younger guys who are not very effective on defense. So that could suit the Pacers well. I know Frye's not good on defense either, but he can really stroke it. But yeah, the big thing is just, will the Cavs implode on themselves? And, you know, LeBron just picked Kevin Love to be on his all-star team. So maybe there's some, you know, hey, we're buddies, kind of grow the chemistry move there. But you know, we'll have to see how this one really goes. It might be one in a mental battle. And, if you know, Oladipo is also on Team LeBron, so maybe they'll be chatting before this game. But it should be an interesting one, you know, with the Cavs just in their current state. And I'm sure they'd like to right the ship. And I know LeBron knows that they haven't beaten the Pacers once this year. I've said that every single time they've played, and the Pacers still find a way to win. So the last thing I'll say to be on the lookout for is Lance Stephenson, of course, because of what happened in the last game with him getting in LeBron's head, which is super rare. I think that will be just something to watch for. You know, can LeBron keep his cool with this guy who somehow seems to get under his skin when no one else can? But yeah, the starting lineup change makes me expect a pretty bad game from, well, actually, I expect a bad game from Bojan being quote-unquote guarded by LeBron, but if LeBron plays free safety, maybe he can do okay, but I do expect a bad game from Bojan, and I expect a good game from Darren Collison. You know, he got the game off. He will be well-rested and guarded by Isaiah Thomas. So it'll just be on the lookout for a lot of the new matchups with the Cavs change starting lineup and be on the lookout for their mental state and the all-star stuff. But that is it for today's episode. My name is Tony East. You can follow me on Twitter at TEastNBA. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Pacers. 292 followers. We're so close to that 300. And maybe we'll do something special at 300, but you'll never find out if we don't make it there. So leave us a review and rating on iTunes. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday to recap this Cavs game and the game against the Orlando Magic tomorrow.